We were in our service here. We had a number of young men and fathers that came up here and just shared some of the things that they had experienced the week prior or a couple weeks prior on a missions trip, and their goal was to go down and work and help people that had experienced hardship, and I believe that they accomplished that. But there was one thing that stood out to me in as they were sharing their experiences, and they were sharing how different ones of you shared how it's like, you know, they fed us well. There was good food, like more than enough. And as I was pondering that, you know, this group of guys, you guys went down, you went with a purpose to serve people, to help them. And that food that was placed before you that week wasn't by chance. It was intentionally done so because they wanted to bless you and they wanted you to remember the food that part of your trip. And so I guess what I'm saying is like you went down, you intentionally went to serve and to minister to people that had a need. And as you were down there was people there that they came down there to serve as well. And they came to, their job was to bring food to the table and to prepare it. And likewise, you were blessed. And so I've been thinking about some of these things, and so I guess my mind kept going. And I'd like to speak this morning about ministry, and as believers, it's our life calling. And sometimes we enjoy it and we feel blessed by it. Other times maybe we feel overwhelmed and it's like, well, there's I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. But I believe God wants us to sort out what we're supposed to be doing. Like as you were down on this trip, you couldn't very well be building a house for someone that needed a house, and at the same time trying to prepare a meal for 50 people. You know, and if we try to do both at the same time, it doesn't work so well. And so we need to understand what we're called to do, and then do it. So with those thoughts, I'd just like to just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together here. We thank you for each one here. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would again just stir our hearts by your word. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to us where we need ministering. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us courage to continue to do what you would have us to do. Lord, we just want to commit this message to you and just pray that you would have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So ministry, our lifelong calling, and I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 10, and we drop down to verse 35 here, and we see the desire of James and John here, and they wanting to be in the spotlight and to be first. In verse 36, and he said unto them, what would you that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. And Jesus spoke to them here and said, basically, that you don't know what you ask. And can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus responded to them that you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them from whom it is prepared. We drop down to verse 45 here, and I just like to look at the example that Jesus gave for us. Maybe I'll back up to verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So we see Jesus teaching his disciples here and just showing to them in these verses here what ministry looks like. It's not a life of ruling and being served, but rather it's a life of serving and giving in that others might find hope and find life. If we look at Jesus' walk on earth here, we see that being taught in word and in deed. His life shows that. And so when we think of ministry, that's the example that Jesus left with us, and that is our calling. Often when we hear of talk and we hear of someone mentioning that someone is in the ministry, we often, our minds go to, we think of a pastor or a teacher or a counselor or some kind of title. And truly, those people have a calling and have a ministry. But this morning, I'd like to go much further than that. And I believe that we're talking to each one of us here in this room. When we hear of someone being in a full-time job or full-time ministry, we think it's like, well, wow, that's a high calling. They really have committed themselves to that. And sometimes we maybe, depending on how we think about that, it's like, wow, I'm just not quite there. But I would like to suggest to us this morning that we're all called to be in this type of ministry, it's a full-time job, and it goes with us wherever we go, or it should. When we hear that, maybe we find ourselves getting stressed or worried. It's like, well, how do I do that? I have lots going on. I have lots of commitments. And I want to encourage us, let's not stress, but let's just hear what the Lord has to say to us here this morning. In Matthew chapter 5, a familiar passage there, starting in verse 14, it tells us, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Jesus is saying here that we are the light of the world. And it's easy for us to be reminded of that certain times, you know, when we're, it's like, go out and do street ministry. We're very aware that we're the light of the world. When we come to church, we realize that we're doing something that many people choose not to. And there's different things that we are reminded that we are a light to the world. But I'd like for us to just look at what it's saying. You know, if you're a light of the world, you know, does that light shouldn't go out? It should be continuous. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, when I look at verse 16 there, I see it's not just talking about, you know, the good things that we do. It's not just talking about, it's like, we don't go out and tell people, it's like, you know, last week, I witnessed to someone, and I plan on going to church on Sunday, and it's not talking about that, I believe, but rather I believe it's talking about the life that we live, the things that are coming out of our lives. As I wake up in the morning, as I live my life in my home, as I whatever our responsibilities are, as we find ourselves going into the workplace, the way that I live my life out, it should be showing that there's something, that I have something that's worth living for, and that people see my life, and as they observe my life, it makes them think about God, and they it just turns their hearts towards the Lord and makes them want to live that life as well. Colossians 3 verse 23 and 24, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So, doing it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing where our reward is coming. You know, if that is our life, if that's our life practice, you know, we can see that. When you observe people that are serving you know, especially on the job sites, I think in a workplace, you can very easily pick out people that are serving man versus those that are, you know, their heart and their focus is, you know, I'm doing this job for this lady that or person that they need a porch, and I'm doing it for them, but I'm doing it for the Lord as well. And we see that coming out. So what is ministry? Ministry is work. And it means in ministry that we're dealing with lives that are changing, lives that need to change. And it also, I think in ministry, it also involves our own lives. Our own lives are changing in the process. And we see that, you know, at times that's like, my life needs to change as well. So in Mark chapter 6, we can see a little bit what's going on here. That ministry is rewarding, it's challenging. In going down to verse 30 here, and apostles had gathered themselves together here unto Jesus, verse 30, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They had this conversation with Jesus, and they were just, you know, talking about their story of what happened in that day or time. And obviously we can see that it was work, and they were tired. And Jesus suggested that they need to, you know, let's go find a place so we can get some rest. But if we go into the following verses there, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them, saying, teach them many things. And so we see here, you know, this is Jesus' life here and his disciples. And, you know, they were looking, they were feeling tired, at least if I understand what was going on here. And they went there. But they came to some people that were wanting to be taught, that were looking for truth. And so Jesus taught them many things. And in the end of the day there, you know, there was, I believe, thousands of people there. And they were hungry. And Jesus suggested here that we need to feed these people. And what stood out to me here is, like, maybe the way we feel at times physically when people come to us is like, you know, all I have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And this is what the disciples pointed out as they were thinking about feeding these people physically here. And Jesus said as much that this is enough. You know, let's set the people down. And we see that Jesus provided more than enough for the people there, and that there was much left over. In verse 43 there, they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And so, you know, when we give these times to the Lord, it's okay. It's okay if we feel like, well, all I've got to offer is about 5 loaves. And, you know, couple fish, and we give it to the Lord. We do what we know to do. And Jesus, you know, ministers to the people. And so I was just blessed by that thought, that, you know, we just have to do what God calls us to do, and He will take care of the rest. So, ministry for all, for our life's calling, and including all, a term that I'm sure that we're familiar with and have heard many times, maybe not many times, but we've probably heard different times. All hands on deck. And when we observe that taking place in a physical sense, it's amazing to watch when everybody comes on board and is like, I'm here to help. And we saw a little bit of that here last week when we came to clean up this place outside. You know, not everybody was here, but everyone that came, and they came with a purpose to do what they could. And, you know, if you try to do that with one or two people, it's like, it's going to take a long time. And it's, you know, not very motivating. But when you see all people coming on board and saying, you know, everyone is needed and we're all going to do our piece, it catches our attention. And we notice how quickly things change. And so this morning, as we think about God's work and all hands on deck, you know, thinking about young people, thinking about single people, thinking about husbands, thinking about wives, fathers, mothers, thinking about our leaders, pastors, deacons, and the roles that their wives play in part. And, you know, as we go into our workplaces and we think about the responsibility that we have as employers and as employees, in if we take and apply thinking about serving, ministering, and think about our life calling and start applying that in all of these areas, starting from as youth. And it's like, you know, the responsibilities that you have, and you start applying what God has called for you, and you go down the list. What an amazing thing if you see that playing out. And I'd like to just go through and look at some of those things in each one of our lives here. You know, as youth, and if I can just find some verses here in Titus chapter 2. I think this chapter is speaking to all of us maybe, but in verse 6 there, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, and that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. And, you know, when you see young people and their lives are committed to the Lord, and you see that coming out, you know, that speaks loudly to not only the world, but to all of us. And it makes, you know, it motivates older people's like, I want to be more like that too. I want to live for the Lord. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 16 there, we see the life of David and, you know, his respect for Saul, God's anointed. You know, even when it seemed like Saul was his enemy and Saul was standing in the way for a calling that David had, a position that David knew that he was being called to. But I can, you know, how frustrating when we feel called to be doing something, but there's this person that is standing in my way and is making my life difficult. And we see time and time again that David, his respect for Saul, God's anointed, and not taking things in his own hands, but waiting on God. You know, talks about, when we look at that, we see someone that is showing that they trust God and they are willing to wait and allow God's time to work out. So, you know, as young people, a call to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, you know, thinking about, you know, who we are and honoring God with our bodies and our life. Husbands, in you know, some of the responsibility as husbands that we have. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Ephesians 5, verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, as our ministry, as our life calling, this is a responsibility that as husbands, we have to our wives. You know, we're to take care of them. We're to love them and have a relationship. You know, I think about, you know, when we think about having a relationship with God, and we know that in order to have a relationship with God that we need We need time. In order to fulfill this calling, we need to have time for our wives. Wives, you know, your part of your life calling in Titus to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. A call for the older women to be an example to the younger women when it comes to love, marriage, and motherhood. You know, these are just some of your life's calling. And again, you know, when it comes to doing these things, it means that we recognize it as a something that we want to do, because we, first of all, you know, we're doing it unto the Lord, and we're doing it to our spouses, and it's your life calling. It's part of your life calling. And again, it means time. It's time invested into these things. Fathers, we're called to teach our children your life calling. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Again, it is part of our life's calling is to, as a father, is to be, have a relationship with our children. In 1 Peter, for mothers, your life calling as a mother, or part of it, just some verses here. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, when we see that coming out of a mother, we, you know, it's amazing. Pastors, and I'm going to, in pastors, when we think of pastors and their responsibility, I'm thinking deacons and leaders, and I think often, you know, our wives get a piece of that too. But in Jeremiah 3, verse 15, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I believe that is a piece of our life calling as elders and pastors. In Titus chapter 1, verse 7, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach, and he must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. So we see some of the responsibilities as we go down this list of what we have in different, depending on the roles that we play. So as an employer, your life calling or ministry can be in this area. In Colossians chapter 4, Verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So the calling there is to be fair. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, tells us there that thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. And the message that I get from that there is, you know, we don't hold back. Like, it's like, well, yeah, you did your job, and we reluctantly give what is theirs. But, you know, rather I think that we willingly and freely give. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, thinking about workers and our responsibility as we work in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, and that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And I really think that this really applies to all of us. You know, I think that's speaking to each one of us in wherever, whatever positions that we hold. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So, just a quick picture of, as we go down through this list, and it pretty much probably connects with all of us in some area or another, and in many cases, we see ourselves fitting in multiple places. And so we have responsibilities in different areas. But the picture that I would like to leave us with is that when all hands are on deck and our faith, our gospel is carried out as a full-time ministry in all of these areas. How amazing. And how, I believe, if we're faithful in these areas and the world has an opportunity to see the glimpses of that, it catches their attention. And they have to know that we have something that they don't. And they're going to look in and wonder how they can have that too. And as we go down over this list, I'm sure, we see our human nature and we see areas that I'm not doing a very good job. I've been slacking. I've been letting it up to someone else to do that piece that was mine to do. I encourage you. Don't stay there. The job that God has given you, that He wants you to do, the responsibilities that you have, take them up and do them. When ministry is happening in our homes, as young people, as husbands and wives, we're taking our responsibilities seriously. We're caring for each other. As fathers and mothers, we're doing what God has called us to do. As pastors, we take all these different areas that God has given us and we do them well. It's going to have an effect on our lives. It's going to have an effect on our children's lives. And it's going to, when I think of Matthew chapter 5 and being that light, you know, it's a light that's set on a hill. And it can't be hit. This kind of life cannot be hit. And so we look at full-time ministry and a full-time job. You know, we look at life, look at it through these eyes. I think it looks possible and doable and encouraging. The piece that, you know, if we have a lot of responsibilities in different areas, a piece that we have to be aware of, and I think we have to do that from time to time, is just to stop and think, what is my first calling? What is my first responsibility? And, you know, some of us have a lot more responsibilities than others, but the piece that we need to do is we need to take care of those things that God has called us first and then move on to the next thing. And sometimes we may have to say, it's like, well, I'm busy tonight. And if they ask you, it's like, well, what are you doing? I'm planning on spending time at home with my family. What? I thought you were busy. Those are, God has given us those jobs to do, and let's do them well. Let's not lose sight of the things that the Lord has given us. In closing, verses that I would like to leave with us in Colossians chapter 3, for all of us, verse 23 and 24, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. May God bless each one of you.